This podcast is proud to be part of the TalkSport Fan Network. TalkSport. Powered by fans.
And there it is. That's as good as it gets on this stage. Nissan Townstar EV strikes again. It's an unstoppable van. Unstoppable!
Look, just fantastic. You can actually see the ProPilot technology in action. Effortless parallel parking.
It moves with all the confidence that comes with a 5-year warranty.
And with a bench full of all-star van experts, there's real strength in depth here.
That's all-star quality.
Search Nissan Townstar EV and visit your local all-star van centre to see for yourself.
Terms and conditions apply. 5 years or 100,000 miles, whichever comes first.
ProPilot is an advanced driver assist technology. Driver's responsibility to stay alert, drive safely, and control vehicle at all times.
The TalkSport Fan Network is proudly supported by McDelivery, bringing you the food you know you love. McDelivery brings a top-tier lineup of food right to your door. No matter the result, unlike the Owls, you'll always be winning with McDelivery. So there's only one thing left to say. What's everybody having? Order now on the McDonald's app and you can also get rewards points delivered too, so that ordering today means you'll get some tasty rewards later on. And between you and me, if you order just before kickoff, you can get it just in time for half time, but I've not told you that. Only via the app at participating restaurants, 18 plus rewards registration required. Points only on menu items, delivery fee and terms apply. See mcdonalds.com. See you later.
This podcast is proud to be part of the TalkSport Fan Network. TalkSport. Powered by fans.
Trudell! What a goal! It's absolutely world-class from Marcus Trudell!
Johnson puts it in the air. Aidan Flegg wins the goal!
It's
the
It's still with Lee Gregory. He's in the box. Tries to screw it. Is it going to be there?
Yes! Yes!
Oh, my God!
The Wednesday Week!
Hello, good evening, and welcome to another episode of the Wednesday Week. My name's Dan Fudge, and it is Hello from the Other Side edition. Tonight, I've got joining me Connor from... It's the pink and Connor, isn't it? It was the green and back in our ends, so... I needed to check what crazy colour newspaper you had. In this segment, we call...
Hello from the other side!
It's fun, that, isn't it? I tell you what, I've had so much fun with it this season. Connor, thanks a lot for joining us, mate. I'll tell you what, let's start with it. So yesterday was a huge win for Sheffield Wednesday at the bottom of the league against QPR, who, you know, for all intents and purposes, could actually afford to lose one, but they were quite poor. But I assume yourself, being from the yellow side of East Anglia, didn't really give two beans on what was going on elsewhere in the league yesterday with your local derby, right?
Not until about 7 o'clock, I don't think, that evening. No, it was, it's been a really good weekend. And, you guys know as well, you've got a really big derby up where you are. And it's massive. And I think it gives the whole city a boost, the whole county, in our case, a boost if you can win it. So, and obviously, you guys might not be aware, but Norwich have a long unbeaten record against Ipswich. It's now 15 years. It will be 15 years after this game. So to keep that intact, I think it's a major thing for Norwich fans. It's a massive thing of pride. So all of that means that Norwich City are going to be arriving at Hillsborough in a pretty decent mood, I would say.
I'm hoping you're like me and going to be hungover to sin. That's what London away days are not great for my liver. But, you know, I'm hoping that they might have partied well into the night and are still partying right now as we record this on Sunday night. I'd really enjoy that. But as you touched upon there, you guys have had the upper hand over your local rivals for a while. And it must be nice to put them back in their place a little bit, given that they're getting a big for their boots this season, right?
Yeah, I think actually it's funny in the sense that a lot of derbies recently, probably since the 2015 playoffs, which Norwich also edged, they haven't been that competitive, to be honest, because there's been massive disparity between the quality of the sides. I mean, the last set of derbies before this season was in 2018-19. Norwich won the league, Ipswich got relegated. Pretty good season for those of a yellow and green persuasion. And the games were just, particularly the one at Carrow Road, wasn't really a contest, and Norwich won it 3-0. So as a league game, this felt like the biggest one for a while. But this season more generally, I think Norwich have probably gone into the two games with a little bit more trepidation than they have done in any others, really, over the course of this run. So, yeah, there is obviously, and I think Norwich fans are enjoying the fact that this is Ipswich's best season. They're 20 points clear of Norwich. They've, you know, and even from my position, you can look at it and say they've had a wonderful season. It's unbelievable what they've done, particularly against, you know, free parachute payment sides. And, you know, they came up with you guys last season. So it's a remarkable achievement. But the fact that their best team in however many years still isn't able to beat Norwich is... I was going to use a different word, but yeah, it's quite funny. Yeah,
it's hilarious to you. Yeah, I thought that's what you might say. Now, you know, I don't want to dwell too much on the East Anglia rivalry itself, but you know, Ipswich spent well in January in League One and really solidified a wonderful meteoric rise. It was us and Plymouth fighting it out. We dropped our backsides back in March time last year. And they went absolutely sailing up the league and got promoted at a canter, given the way that their season finished out. And then they've hit this season really hit their stride. And like you say, they've got up there they've crashed a bit of a big party there, because this was always going to be a difficult championship season, as you know, it's been widely documented. But and I want you to put your most yellow and green tinted spectacles on that you can when you answer this. Do you feel like McKenna's getting a little bit too many plaudits, or have they just spent a load of money?
They have spent money, but again, I guess it's context of that money, isn't it? When you know they haven't spent 40 million on Ruter, albeit that was in the Premier League, and they haven't spent the money that Southampton have done even in the Championship. So yeah, begrudgingly, I think it is hard to maybe put that into the context which it is, but yeah, they have spent money, and that is a fact. And yeah, there is, I think, an element that McKenna is getting a lot of praise, and again, rightly so, because of the position that they're in. I actually see a lot of similarities between what they've done this year, minus the money side of it, to what Norwich did under Paul Lambert in about 2011, where they did similar. They bounced straight through League One and straight through the Championship to the Premier League, and everything that season felt like it was running for them and falling for them. They were scoring late goals. They weren't a team that had fantastic individuals, but they had, as a collective, they were wonderful and unstoppable, and it was almost a team that had forgotten how to lose, and that was kind of feels like that's been the case with Ipswich this year as well. So what would be interesting for me on both sides, really, if they do go and finish a job and they do get promoted, well, you don't need to look at any other fan base who knows how difficult it is in the Premier League than the Norwich fans. And equally, if they didn't, and if they stayed down, I mean, would they have the gusto and the ability to go again next year with the squad that they've got? I think that would be really interesting as well. So it does feel a bit now or never for me, and particularly if they don't go up, you could foresee some Premier League interest in McKenna as well. So yeah, I think that it's one that Norwich fans are watching and obviously crossing fingers and hoping it will blow up, but we'll see how it goes. Whether yesterday will galvanize them, or whether it is the start of them running out of steam, because they struggled a little bit against Southampton, I thought, on Monday as well, even though they found the winner in the fashion that they've done this season. So yeah, it's going to be really interesting to see which way it goes now, I think.
Yeah, it wouldn't upset me to see them fall away, if I'm honest. But let's talk about your side then. So let's talk about Norwich City. This is the second time we've spoken this season in reference to Norwich's season on how it's going. Now, that win solidified a bit of a gap between you and Coventry in the sixth position in the league, if I read that rightly.
Yes.
So are Coventry playing today or tomorrow night? I've not really looked at the fixture, kind of, because they've got a game in hand over you guys. But now there's because of that small gap, it doesn't really affect you too much, right?
Yeah, they beat Leeds yesterday, which I think was again a result that nobody really saw coming from a yellow and green perspective. The game in hand they've got is obviously because they've reached the FA Cup semi-finals. They were due to play Hull on quarter-final weekend. That's been pushed down the road, and that's a massive game, because Hull, even though they've sort of fallen away over the last few weeks, are still in the hunt. But yeah, if they win their game in hand, and obviously there's no change to, at the moment, it's a four-point cushion. So there really is quite a small margin for error still from Norwich's perspective, which is why every game with five to go feels really seismic. And they haven't been the best. Norwich haven't been the best away from home. They've won five on the road all season. So I think there is a little bit of an issue there for them to overcome at home. They've won eight on the bounce, so they have been a little bit of a different team home in a way. And interestingly as well, I think the derby adds a little bit of an extra element to it, because if you win a game with that and the highs and how intoxicating that is for everybody, and then you've got to go again 3 days later and you've got to almost bring yourself down. It's very difficult. And I had a look earlier today, actually, and when Norwich won the derby in 2018, they went to Preston the following week and got beat 3-1. In 2015, they won it and then got beat by Wigan a few days later. So, highs as well, even, and this is a different example, but they beat Manchester City in the Premier League in 2019 and then went to Burnley and lost. So I think there is an element that it could be quite difficult, like sort of hangover game afterwards. We'll see. But they've got two away games this week and they need points from them, really. It's as simple as that, because one misstep, essentially what they've got with a four-point cushion is control. If they lose and Coventry win with a game in hand, Coventry obviously would then wrestle control, even though they maybe wouldn't have the points on the board. So, the stakes are high for Norwich City at the moment, just as they are for you guys.
Yeah, I was going to say, what we're hoping to see on Tuesday is a ding-dong between two teams who really need the points, like for completely different reasons, but we could really do with the points. The last 10 game weeks has been dead weird for Sheffield Wednesday. There's an element of, we're getting these wins that on paper 3-4 months ago we'd have never got anywhere near. We'd have just out of our backside and had two as when it got to League One with a miserable whimper. But we keep getting these little wins and we keep getting these 3 points. But at the same time, every time we do it, Huddersfield pick up points, Stoke pick up points. And as a result, you know, a couple of teams have been dragged into it, like Birmingham, who with the Wayne Rooney experiment, you know, it didn't work. And then Blackburn are sleepwalking towards relegation. Plymouth are in some of the worst form I've seen in a while. And you know what? And, you know, the Sheffield Wednesday fans are listening to this. You've got to give props to Huddersfield, because they've been fighting just like we have. And it's made it a right old ding-dong in the entire bottom half of that league. And it's been great. Now, in terms of you guys in the playoffs, if you're looking to take that step up, that party that you're crashing with, the three teams that come down in Leicester, Leeds and Southampton, Ipswich having an absolute mega season, that's a big ask to go through those playoffs. I mean, looking as it stands right now, are you looking at it thinking, maybe might want to sit this one out and give it another year? What do you reckon?
Well, I think the worst outcome is that we have a repeat of 2015 and you've got to go through an East Anglian derby again in the playoffs. And that as a mix is horrible. So that would not be desired. But actually, I think the stats around finishing sixth and actually going up at this level are pretty horrendous. I think the last team that did it was Ian Holloway's Blackpool in 2009, 2010. So
yeah, it's still an example that I use as well about hitting the playoffs being the form team. I always use Blackpool and I realised that was about 14 years ago.
Yeah, everyone does it, doesn't it? It's like, a team.
And there it is. That's as good as it gets on this stage. Nissan Townstar EV strikes again. It's an unstoppable van. Unstoppable!
Look, just fantastic. You can actually see the ProPilot technology in action. Effortless parallel parking.
It moves with all the confidence that comes with a 5-year warranty.
And with a bench full of all-star van experts, there's real strength in depth here.
That's all-star quality.
Search Nissan Townstar EV and visit your local all-star van centre to see for yourself.
Terms and conditions apply. 5 years or 100,000 miles, whichever comes first.
ProPilot is an advanced driver assist technology. Driver's responsibility to stay alert, drive safely, and control vehicle at all times.
We all know away days are mint, but there's nothing quite like playing at home. Same goes for McDonald's. Maximise your home ground advantage with McDelivery. You in? Order now with the McDonald's app. At participating restaurants, 18 plus, serving times, delivery fee and terms apply. For more information, see mcdonalds.com. See you later.
Emerged from their pack and then they've got momentum going into it, and yeah, how much of a lottery it is I don't know, because again, you guys saw it last season, it was essentially a three horse race in League One. It got to the playoffs and actually it was the best team that was in it that won it. So maybe it's a little bit less of a lottery than what we think. And actually having, you know, Norwich, who played Leeds, Leicester and Ipswich, played Leicester on Easter Monday and lost pretty convincingly. Of those three teams, of what I've seen, you'd probably want Ipswich out of those in terms of quality. There's obviously still an outside chance that Norwich can finish fifth. West Brom dropping points on Saturday has created that. But again, in the two games against Southampton, particularly the one at Carrow Road, Norwich conceded about, well, all of possession, really, but somehow managed to get a draw. So, actually, the weekend was the first time they've beaten a team in the top four. So I think psychologically that feels quite big in terms of that heading into the playoffs. But yeah, you're right. I do wonder if after what has been quite an epic race between, it's been a top four. I think it's probably now fair to say it's a top three. Southampton have stumbled a little bit. Whether this just means that Norwich are going to fall at the first hurdle against whoever finishes third, I don't know. So, yeah, I think there is a little bit of that, but there's also, I think, a little bit of, you know what, we'll cross that bridge if and when we need to. We've got to get there first, you know.
Yeah, have you got to a point now where it's just one game at a time? Stop looking at the league. We'll just see whatever happens, happens, and we'll find out by about 3 o'clock on that Sunday on the last game of the season.
That's about it, yeah. And actually, you look at Norwich's running and it looks okay. Like, it's Sheffield Wednesday and then Preston on Saturday, which is going to be tough because that's going to be a game that they're going to feel they need to win to keep what is now an outside hope of getting into the top six alive. I think if Norwich beat them, then they're gone essentially. And then it's a doubleheader at Carrow Road against two teams who are on the beach in Bristol City and Swansea before they go to Birmingham on the final day, which again, similarly to this game on Tuesday, actually could be quite dangerous if they're trying to play to stay up. So I think you look at it on paper and feel like it's okay as a run in, but you know, games against Sheffield Wednesday, against Birmingham, I think teams who need points, they can often be really, really dangerous. So, I think I look at this week in particular, two away games. Norwich haven't been great on the road. It's absolutely massive and may well decide their fate. But I think we say that every week.
I think we've had our fate decided since October every single week, isn't it? I'm sick to death of saying it's 13 cup finals, it's 12 cup finals, it's a six pointer. It seems to be a six pointer and a cup final every week. And you know, like for example, yesterday, right at QPR, you could really see it was palpable the emotion and that was coming through from the fans. And QPR picked up two really good wins over the Easter break. And I was concerned, and I said on our show, like I would take a draw before the game, and to go there and win, and you know we played really well, and I'm not going to take away from the fact that QPR literally offered nothing up front. You could see why they were down there. There, you know, we had a plan for Elias Chair, and once that had happened, then they kind of didn't have a lot going on. But yeah, hell of a big 3 points, and again, because Huddersfield won in the 94th minute, we've got to keep up. But tell me about Norwich. Like, was the expectation at the start of the season to be in and around the playoffs, or you know, especially given, like you said, these three teams that everybody spoke about this season that have come down, the best you can kind of hope for is playoffs, right?
Yeah, it's been a really strange season. It's felt like about four seasons in one, to be completely honest with you. But I think Norwich in the Championship, and obviously you look at it externally, and it's the odd, oh well, you know, they're going to go straight back up. So I think there is always that expectation in the fan base that a Norwich side in the Championship should be competing, whatever your definition of competing is. And it started really well. I think they maybe won four of their first five or something like that, and then had a really bad run in the autumn where they suffered seven defeats in nine. David Wagner looked absolutely on the brink. I think a lot of the fans had turned, and they were 17th in the table. And I think there was one stage, and they had a few injuries, but there was one stage where people were going, hang on, if Norwich aren't careful, could be looking over the shoulder a little bit. I don't think it ever really got to those levels, but there was certainly a view that could have been the case. And then since they went to Cardiff and they won 3-2, and that was just before the international break in November, since then they've been tremendous, really, particularly since the turn of the year. As I said, they've won eight in a row at home, which is the best run of form at Carrow Road at this level since 2003. They've only lost since 2024 in the league three games, which has been Leeds away, Middlesbrough away, which is mitigated slightly by the fact they got a pretty dubious red card, which, you know, got overturned about 2 days later, and away to Leicester as well. So They've picked up, I think, 50 points in 26 games. So that gives you an indication of how well they've done to sort of surge up the table and get themselves into the position that they're in. But yeah, there's still this issue, I think, of what they're like on their travels. And I appreciate it's maybe a little bit first world problems from your guys' perspective.
But, oh, God, look at him. Oh, I'm gutted for you, Connor. Yeah, mate.
Yeah, exactly. But you know, that's kind of what you, I think they need to obviously pick up a few more to make life a little bit easier for themselves. So yeah, it's been a weird season. It's been very up and down. And yeah, David Varken has had to win a lot of individual battles throughout it. And yeah, he's at the moment coming out on top.
Yeah, because David Wagner, I think I spoke to you when I spoke to you in the early season. I wasn't very complimentary about Wagner, but purely because he got Huddersfield promoted without scoring a goal, and it really annoyed me. And then I felt like every time he's had a job since, he's kind of got found out a little bit. He seems to have found a bit of found his stride a little bit. Now, when he was at Huddersfield, there was a lot of anti-football and negative football, and Norwich. You know, if you look back through our results with yourselves, there's always goals, right? There's always a potential for somebody to score four. Do you feel like you're a lot more difficult to beat, and the football's a little bit, dare I say, anti-football a little bit?
Yeah, we've seen that at times. He was criticised as late as Easter Monday at Leicester for exactly that. Norwich took the lead from a quarter. They basically copied Manchester City's corner against Liverpool that John Stones scored, and scored a direct replica of that, and then basically retreated and sat so deep and tried to soak it up, and got penned in and ultimately got beat pretty 3-1, which, okay, against Leicester, the quality they've got. But he got really criticised for his approach there, and that's not been a one-off. I mentioned the Southampton game. There was a QPR game at home, which they actually won 1-0. But they how they won that 1-0, goodness knows, because they sat back and soaked up a lot of pressure. And so, yeah, there has been that side to them, and they want to counter-attack teams, and sometimes they get the balance a bit wrong, particularly away from home. I think that's fair to say. And actually, Saturday was an interesting example of them trying to soak up a lot of pressure and managing to do that successfully and still having a threat the other way. There have been points where they've tried to do it and they've not had a counter-attacking threat. Josh Sargent helps them tremendously with that, in terms of the type of player that he is. But yeah, he's found a groove, and I think it's hard to argue with what he's done, as I said, particularly since the start of this year, and the amount of points. And I think what he's been really good at, even though there has been tactical shortcomings this season, is he's kept the dressing room really close together, and everyone you speak to, and all of the players that come out and speak, they talk about the togetherness. And actually, through the difficult period of the autumn, there was never any indication that, you know, of the cliche, oh, they've stopped playing for him, or you know, any sort of waving of the white flag. I think the closest that maybe Norwich came to that was in the 3-1 defeat to Blackburn, which their last defeat at Carrow Road, and I think the last defeat of that horrible run in the autumn. And I think after that game, everyone thought that he was probably gone. But I think the fact that he's managed to keep them together and pointing in that direction, the fact they've had that experience and he's created this kind of siege mentality within the dressing room, I think has probably helped create the run of form that they've been on. So, yeah, I think it is a little bit of, you kind of accept that tactically he isn't as advanced as maybe some of the coaches in this division. But what he's able to do, I think, is extract a lot of heart and a lot of guts and a lot of effort out of his players. And sometimes that's enough to bridge the gap. Sometimes there's too much quality when you go to Leeds and when you go to Leicester. But occasionally, as Saturday proved, you can bridge the gap with those intangibles. And I think that's something that he's done very well. And you mentioned those playoff games. I think Norwich fans have looked at that playoff campaign that he did with Huddersfield. And like you say, he didn't score a single goal, won it on penalties, but he got them up. So the end justified the mean. And I think that has been the case in a lot of the times where he has sort of regressed tactically. We've seen Norwich City get results by and large, and when he does that, it's hard to argue with him, I guess.
Fair enough. So Hillsborough Tuesday night under the lights, difficult place to go if the crowd are up. Now, I give you, this is going to sound insane, but I remember even back in the days of the 90s we used to do this. If it was a Champions League week, we used to try and give away tickets to try and get people down to Hillsborough for these midweek fixtures. So if Hillsborough's rocking, it's always a difficult place to go. I mean, ask Peterborough. You know what I mean? Right. But in terms of coming up, and given the way that Norwich have travelled, it's prediction time, Connor. How do you think it's going to go? I mean, it's going to be a ding-dong, and it's definitely got goals in it.
It has. I think it's going to be really tough. And, you know, it's interesting because you spoke to a lot of Norwich fans and they were looking at the Leicester Ipswich doubleheader and go, oh, yeah, that's probably the season, you know, as we discussed earlier, that's probably the season decided right there. But I looked at the run more generally. I mean, it's three away games in four. They lost at Leicester. They probably need to win at least one of these two games. Like, you know, we spoke about the 4-point cushion. So it's pretty important they do that. I do think there is a danger that because of the highs on Saturday and the levels they had to reach, that it's going to be very hard to replicate those in this particular game. So I think everyone's looking at it really as a potential banana skin, to use that cliche. And I think it's one where it's going to be really interesting to see kind of how Norwich deal with everything mentally. I can see it being really difficult. I can see it being a draw. So, yeah, I think I might go for a 2-2.
Do you know what? I was absolutely going to go for a Desmond as well, because I think it's got goals in it. And I think you're right. I think given the proximity of where the teams are in the league, I think 2-2 is, and the way we didn't really see off Swansea the other week in terms, and they were dead and buried, they were done. And only walking away from a 1-1 on Good Friday was a bitter pill to swallow. But Connor, it's been an absolute pleasure, sir. Thank you so much for joining us, and let's hope it's a decent ding dong on Tuesday. See you later. Hello from the other
side. It's the 90th minute. You've got all your mates round. You've got your McNugget share boxes coming down the left wing, ready to go. Your mate's already been booked for double dipping, and you steal the last nugget, snatching all 3 points. Back of the net, Le Bosch. Automate delivery now on the McDonald's app. You in? At participating restaurants, 18 plus, serving times, delivery fee and terms apply. See mcdonalds.com for more information. See you later.
And there it is. That's as good as it gets on this stage. Nissan Townstar EV strikes again. It's an unstoppable van. Unstoppable!
Look, just fantastic. You can actually see the ProPilot technology in action. Effortless parallel parking.
It moves with all the confidence that comes with a 5-year warranty.
And with a bench full of all-star van experts, there's real strength in depth here.
That's all-star quality.
Search Nissan Townstar EV and visit your local all-star van centre to see for yourself.
Terms and conditions apply. 5 years or 100,000 miles, whichever comes first.
ProPilot is an advanced driver assist technology. Driver's responsibility to stay alert, drive safely, and control vehicle at all times.
This podcast is proud to be part of the TalkSport Fan Network. TalkSport. Powered by fans.